Now turn to chapter 5. Quote, premarital relations. The first blow of the sexes is struck when a boy and girl are encouraged and then rejected by the person with whom they have fallen in love enough to desire marriage. More people have had their heart broken and cut out with a knife of unrequited love than is imaginable. But I must remind the reader that our basic principle cannot prevent the impossible. It cannot prevent a girl or boy from rejecting the other, no matter how much the other is in love, when not to do this makes matters worse for them, as would be the case if this necessitated that they reject the person with whom they are in love and who loves them, or that they reject the possibility of meeting someone with whom they could fall in love as much as they are now being loved. Unquote. In other words, not blaming the truck driver after the accident cannot prevent what has already happened. And not blaming your lover for breaking your heart by leaving cannot undo the rejection. Quote, but it can prevent the desire to take risks that get them into this kind of situation where it is necessary to reject the person in love, just as it prevents them from desiring to take risks that lead to automobile accidents. To have loved and lost may be better than never to have loved at all, but this is the lesser of two evils and presupposes that there must always be a contest wherein someone loses and gets hurt, which is completely false. Now, the word love symbolizes a conscious or unconscious desire in varying degrees for a sexual relation of some kind. And this is easily proven by the fact that it is impossible for a boy and girl to be attracted to someone, no matter how physically appealing this individual might be considered, if they know in advance that this person was born without sexual organs, which knowledge makes them aware that this anomaly of nature is incapable of giving or receiving sexual satisfaction. This means that before sexual intercourse takes place, the degree with which one could fall in love is determined by the degree with which the desire to possess a particular person in the ultimate act, as in marriage, is encouraged. In other words, unless a possibility exists that a boy and girl could eventually have some kind of sexual relation, they could never fall in love with each other. Could you fall in love with a photograph of a dead girl? If she was alive, and you know that she would never go out with you, she is dead as far as you're concerned, just as a movie actress would be if there was no possibility of your dating her. Likewise, you could never fall in love with a girl if you know she would never let you touch or kiss her in any way, which only verifies the definition. Consequently, the moment a boy and girl hold hands and kiss, they are, to that degree, encouraging each other towards the possibility of something more and more until some kind of sexual relation is reached, towards the possibility of falling more and more in love. But the meaning of love after marriage or sexual intercourse takes place is a horse of another color, for the intensity of this desire to continue possessing the other depends solely on the degree of sexual satisfaction, which proves conclusively that the stronger the passion, the greater will this feeling of love be, and further demonstrates why there is so much adultery. Most couples remain together after physical satisfaction has sunk to its lowest ebb, not because they are still in love, desire a sexual relation with each other except as a last resort or to fulfill an obligation, but only because it is the lesser of two evils when divorce is considered worse. Now put on your thinking caps and follow me carefully, because the solution is marvelous to behold. Unquote. Bear constantly in mind that the solution is based upon the new world, a world in which everyone knows in advance there will be no blame for anything that is done. The economic problem, however, requires that something else be done, but it is easily solved, and you will be shown the answer very shortly. Quote, when a boy and girl reach an age where they desire to start dating, this is that time in life when the body unconsciously moves the mind in the direction of sex. They know there isn't a person in the world who would desire to make them fall in love and then break their heart by rejecting them, when it is also known in advance there will be no blame. Consequently, when a girl accepts her first date with a boy who appeals to her, and then finds herself falling more and more in love, whether it is returned or not, this is the key to the problem, which must be worked backwards to understand the solution. She is completely unafraid to confess her love and offer her body because she wants him for her husband and knows, just as certain as 2 + 2 = 4, that he would never have taken her out unless the possibility existed of him falling in love with her. This is an undeniable fact because he knows that she would never hold him responsible for making her fall all the more in love with no intention of marrying her, staying with her, for possibly making her pregnant. And when it fully dawns on him that she must excuse everything he does, although he knows it would be his responsibility, since nothing can make him hurt her this way unless he wants to, it becomes impossible for him to derive satisfaction from deflowering her under these conditions. He is compelled to do everything in his power to stay away from this kind of situation. Could you, with a clear conscience, allow a girl to fall in love enough to want you for her husband, and then break her heart when you're absolutely certain that no one in the world, not even the girl to be so terribly hurt, would ever blame you because you know that she must turn the other cheek for satisfaction? This means that when a boy discovers through these undeniable relations that a girl is perfectly willing to go the extreme once he has encouraged her to fall in love by kissing, petting, fooling around in general, he recognizes that there is no advantage, in fact a complete waste of time, to pay flattering compliments and hand her a line when knowing that he will be compelled of his own free will to refuse her body when it is offered, unless he is serious with her. That is, unless he feels from the very first time he sees her that he could fall in love. This forces him to ask out. The girl could ask. It makes no difference under these conditions. Only the kind of girl that appeals enough to become his wife, and forces her to accept a date with only the kind of boy that appeals enough to become her husband. They have no other choice unless they prefer the risk of making people fall in love with them and then find it necessary to break their heart by leaving. If a boy should ask a girl for a date who doesn't desire him, she would simply turn him down because she knows where it might lead. But he could never be hurt by this initial refusal. However, this does not mean that they are forced to stay, because to leave would be a hurt for which there would be no blame, as was already explained, but it does prevent them from considering sex as separate from dating. If they want sex, they are compelled to desire searching for the person with whom they feel they could fall in love. This prevents them from holding on a string prospects for marriage, just in case they can't find someone who is considered of greater value, which prevents the contest wherein there must be losers who get hurt. This means that when a boy or girl asks the other for a date, they are actually saying in so many words, "Honey, you appeal to me very much from every point of view, and if you go out with me, I am going to accept this as an invitation to make love." And the other, if the date is accepted, answers in so many words, "Honey, I know what you want because I want it too." Consequently, when they are in a fond embrace and his hand begins to wander, instead of checking this motion, as a girl was often compelled to prefer because she didn't know if this was to her advantage, she only encourages him all the more as he encourages her. Obviously, both of them will become very passionate and desire to go the extreme, but they will want this very much without the slightest fear that either will ever hurt the other by leaving, even though they can if they want to, but they won't want to. And the moment they indulge, with or without contraception, and regardless of what they do to satisfy each other, they are married. But not because they took out a license, not because they were pronounced man and wife by a priest or rabbi, but only because they will fall so much in love when nothing inhibits their sexual pleasure and they are prevented from striking a first blow, that they will never desire another sexual partner. As to whether they are too young to have sex, are they too young to masturbate? Unquote. Remember, I am discussing a first love, which rarely ever works out in our present world. Quote, God created them with a built-in standard as to when they are ready. This has nothing to do with when they feel ready to raise a family. However, they are compelled to think like never before because they won't want to burden their parents with additional expenses when knowing there would be no blame. Consequently, they would be extremely careful about pregnancy. But the enjoyment of a sexual relation, which will make them fall more and more in love, wouldn't cost their parents a dime. They will remain together, as you will soon have verified, not because to leave would break the other's heart, but primarily because they are in love and will remain in love. In our present world, they can get married without having sexual intercourse and can have the latter without the former. But in the new world, it will be impossible to have one without the other, because they are one and the same. Boys and girls never gave much thought to the consequences of their actions because they were driven by a natural desire for sex, which is their birthright. And when somebody fell in love and got hurt, the answer was, "What am I supposed to do? Marry the girl because we had sex? She knew what she was doing, and I didn't commit myself." By knowing that he would be blamed, he was always allowed to shift his responsibility. But he had no better choice because the pressure for a sexual relation was striking the first blow, since marriage was out of the question at that young age. By removing all the blame, the pressure is also removed because he can have a sexual relation immediately. And there is no possibility for unrequited love to develop. No chance for any girl to be swept off her feet and lose her virginity out of wedlock. No chance for a double standard to make some girls bad and others good. No chance for a boy and girl to hurt each other in any way where sex is concerned, because all the factors truly responsible are prevented from arising. Furthermore, once all the words are removed that now judge some people inferior physiognomic productions of the human race, everybody becomes perfectly equal in value except to the person making a choice. One face is not better looking than another, just different, although we will always find certain differences we like better. It is true that we have already been conditioned to move in the direction of certain differences, but we cannot be hurt when these differences reject us at the very outset, and when other differences will never be directly or indirectly criticized. If a boy desires a type of girl like Elizabeth Taylor, who does not desire his type, he is compelled to put the proverbial horse before the cart and search for the type of girl who is ready to have sex with him. He will then fall in love with her sexual organs, regardless of what her features are like, because nobody will ever refer indirectly to her as ugly by calling other types beautiful, which in our present world could possibly make him regret his choice and keep an eye out for someone who would be looked upon by others as having more to offer in the way of physical appearance. But how is it possible for him to regret his preference for a mate when they stop criticizing his choice and when he has fallen in love with her, which takes place after, not before, sexual intercourse? Adultery arises in most cases from the fact that a boy and girl have fallen out of love. When this is prevented, they will desire each other until death do they part. I will demonstrate this in a later chapter. For now, however, I shall reveal my final discovery, which will absolutely shock all mankind. It is not easy to follow the reasoning, but take your time and you will understand. Unquote.